I've enjoyed playing here. This has been over 20 years that I've been coming to Royal Melbourne. This is the way golf should be played.
We love coming down under.
Look, it's phenomenal to play. The quality of the golf's been great. But the enthusiasm of the people has been the thing that's just been amazing.
Tier of courses that I'm willing to shave my neck for in Kingston Heath, Victoria. Get me out of bed to shave.
Especially somewhere like Australia in the Sand Belt, and I have so many great memories of being down there.
Happy New Year and welcome back to Australian Golf Passport. Scott Warren here and joined always by my co-pilot, Matt Mollica. Hey, Matty.
Hi, Scott. Great to see you. Hope you've had a good start to 2024.
Been fantastic, and we're looking forward to creating some plans for the year in this podcast. And people would have seen from the title that it's a goals podcast. And we should just, call out that obviously No Laying Up does a very good goals podcast every year. And I'm reminded of Oscar Wilde saying that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness. And maybe we can flatter No Laying Up with a mediocre goals podcast of our own to match their great ones. But in reality, this was spawned, I think, kind of November or December-ish in one of episodes. I'd set myself some goals for the year and it kind of came up. And we thought, what better way to kind of plan our year and some stuff for the podcast, some stuff just for life, but go through some goals, set some plans, see what we can follow through on.
You've been a big one for goal setting. In our forum participation in years past, you've started threads at the beginning of the year and identified little targets you wanted to hit. You've looked back consistently and thought, did I get those? How did the year unfold? So that's, I'm sort of hoping I can learn something from you, and perhaps the listeners out there will feel a little bit better with a bit of focus and purpose to 2024 and might get some stuff done on the back of this. So.
I don't know why I'm just wired that way, that like I won't go for a run without Runkeeper tracking it. Every year I track how many times I play golf and how many courses I played. And I don't know, I'm just town wired. So one day I'd love to just go for a run and think, oh, that was a nice run, and then move on with my day. But I don't think it's in me.
I reckon you might one day get to the point where you've recorded enough and you just want to go out for the fun of it.
Maybe.
That might be a while down the road, though.
Maybe. So we talked about, we don't know each other's goals at this point as well, which is important to point out. So we'll be hearing this as the listeners do from each other. But we kind of gravitated around a performance goal, a travel goal, an education goal, a commitment goal, a podcast goal, and a personal goal. And aside from the personal one, broadly, I think golf kind of, golf focused or golf related. But, you know, I think we'll probably have crept away from that here or there, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. We're going to get off to a good start. Do you want to hit us with your golf performance goal?
Okay. I've got two. So I guess like one's quite a stretch goal. But so my basic performance goal is to stay under a 4.0 handicap once I get there. So I got down to 1.2 during the first year of COVID when I was playing twice most weeks, you know, 2.5 hour, 3 hour rounds in a two ball made it possible. So got down to 1.2. I've blown out as of right now, I think I'm 5.2. It's not been a good 2023 performance wise with golf. So I want to get back under 4 ASAP and stay there once I'm there.
Okay. Are there particular little steps that you think will help you achieve that?
It's that thing you see. I see now Lewis Stagner seems like an absolutely out of control unit, but he does have some good stuff on Twitter and Instagram. And sometimes you'll see the one pop up from him about the difference in birdies between a 5 and a scratch is, I think, 0.8 of a birdie around. But the difference in doubles and whatnot is astronomical. So I think for me, it's cleaning up my bad golf and just trying to be consistent with playing as well. I think part of it's a goal. You know, as I said, one of the ways I got to 1.2 was by playing 2 times pretty much every single week. And I've never been one really for practicing. Not that, you know, modern busy lives with families allow that, even if you're prone to it. So I think it's playing consistently. I think that's the unspoken sort of goal, is if I can get out every week or, you know, most weeks, I think I should be able to clean up the yucky stuff that's had me slip away.
Mm.
And then my stretch goal is obviously New South's ripping the course up in September this year for the rebuild over summer. So our champs have been brought forward to the end of March. So my stretch goal is to make match play in the club champs.
Okay. So that's, they'll take the top eight qualifiers after 36 holes of medal play.
Top 16.
Okay.
So top 16, last year, mate of mine made it in 16th place. And I think he shot 82, 83 or 82, 85 perhaps. So, you know, obviously the scratch rating off the Blues at New South is 76 for people who are surprised that 82, 85 makes it. So I think that's the challenge. The challenge is, I think if you shoot 80, 80, you're probably in there or thereabouts.
Okay. I feel that's doable for you. If you get a little bit of golf under your belt in the next 6 weeks and said, well, I'm going to get a good run up at this and I'm going to get in some reasonable form, that feels achievable.
Yeah, it's a big stretch, but we'll see. If I'm over 3.5, I will also qualify for a reserve.
Okay.
Or plate or whatever they call it. And hopefully the first round of match play is a bye week because the A reserve is only 8 qualifiers. So you can make, I imagine you can make both, get dusted in first round of match play by someone who can actually play and then go and play with the people you should be playing against, I think. I'm not sure that you have to commit before you lose that first round, but we'll see.
That sounds reasonable because they'd have a few people on the margins of one category and another who'd be...
Mm.
And they'll do it all the way across the board. There'll be B graders that...
might sneak into a reserve, although yeah, they all start the same week. So I think they need to commit, but we'll see. I'd like to... Even if you get knocked out the first week, it'd be nice to say that you made the match play in the top flight club champs.
Yeah. I remember I fell a shot short of doing that at the National when I was a member there 15 years ago. And I thought for a brief moment that I'd made it. And I still remember that sense of euphoria when I thought, wow, I'm in the top. And then I looked at the scores and no, I'm not.
Okay.
So yeah, it'd be a nice little feather in your cap to get that far.
Well, maybe now that you've had a milestone birthday last year, maybe it's the pursuit this next 5 years of building up to a bit of a senior amateur career for you.
I've got a bit of a more modest. Well, the foundation of mine is relatively modest. My up and down stats inside 30 meters just have to improve. So I'm a bit like you. When I drive home and I've got a reasonable amount of kilometres to cover between leaving the golf club and finally pulling into the driveway, I'll dissect my round on all sorts of different levels and have basic stuff like fairways hit and greens hit and how many putts and how many birdies, how many bogeys, how many others. And my up and down stats are terrible. I reckon they belie the fact that I'm a single figure golfer. Like I'll hit 8 greens in a round, but then for the ones I miss, I'll have 2 of 10 up and downs inside 30 meters or 2 of 11. And I'll think, well, how'd that happen? Oh yeah, I left one in the bunker. And so it was an up and then an attempted down that failed. So I really need to tidy that up. My long-term aim is to win a medal, which I've probably said to you before. I've got to get my name on a board before I die and I've got to get a medal. And I'm not going to do that when I'm chipping like a 20 marker. So I need to make more sensible decisions on approach to not leave myself dreadful up and down options.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have better options, I've got to capitalize on them. I remember years and years ago, the first time I read one of Bobby Jones' books, he talked about a great skill in golf is being able to turn 3 into 2. And I thought, yeah, just shave a shot here, shave a shot there. Just suddenly your scorecard looks a lot better.
Yeah. And so what's the metric? How are you going to measure that performance goal of improving your inside 30 meter game?
I've got to practice it and I've got to get settled on a technique and I've got to stop looking for the ridiculous approach to it. So play it back in my stance and hood it a bit and spin it and thump it into that bank and then take the speed off it and roll it down. Like, let's not start doing Phil Mickelson stuff. Let's just get it inside a hula hoop of 8 feet and see if we can make the 8-footer. That would be a start, because I think I let my imagination get the better of me when I get inside 30 meters.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's realistic. And you're going to turn, like you just described, taking four to get down from inside 30 meters. If you hit the safe shot to even 10 feet, you're going to get down in three at the absolute most.
Yeah.
And you're going to make more. It's like my thing with playing the 15th at New South as a four iron off the tee and as a three shotter. It's remarkable the amount of times you make four playing it that way. I think just because your heart rate stays low and you are just playing percentages.
Expectations stay low. You're staying out of trouble. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm always reminded of the NLU guys saying when they go and watch a lot of tournament golf, the thing that they take away is that the really good golf is really boring. Like the guys who win the tournament or are contending tend to be playing pretty boring golf to watch in the flesh, because it's just safe putt of fairway, safe putt of green, try and make a putt, tap in, and repeat. So maybe we should take some heart from that boring golf.
DJ did a video years ago, probably 3 years ago now, where he just totally disregarded the flag and just aimed for the middle of the green on every approach. And I remember I went to PK North the week after having watched that and tried to do exactly the same thing and shot 75.
Yeah.
why don't I do that more? That's
I think they took the flags out, didn't they? He played without flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should all do that more.
Yeah. So the other little goal I've got would be to perform admirably in the Victorian Hickory Championships, which are on Sunday, May 19 at Barwon Heads. So those of you who are Victorian-based, who are Hickory nuts, Golf Society of Australia is going to send out invitations to that event soon. That will be a really, really cool event to participate in. Barwon Heads, Cooch Fairways will be just going dormant. The place will hopefully still be firm. It's not too long. It's wide enough. The greens are interesting. Lots of run-up approaches. That will be a great event to play in. So, yeah, once the pursuit of a medal in spring and in summer and autumn's gone, that'll be a switch to Hickory for me to try and get into some sort of form for that.
I like it. Very good.
So, sticking with golf, do you have a travel goal for 2024 with golf?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned before, my home club is closing in September for the whole summer to be rebuilt. So my year is kind of in two parts. I have zero travel goal until then. My goal, I just want to try and play as much as I can at my home course to, you know, justify my annual fees between now and September. The exception being I'm going to Europe in July, August with the family, and there's 8 days in London. And my goal is to play either Sunningdale or St. George's Hill when I'm there. So that's one goal. I also, so then September to the end of the year, I've got nowhere to play golf. And so my goal for that is to play Naruma and Duntry League.
Well done.
Two courses I've never played that I should have played. I've got a good mate at Duntry League, and they have a 36-hole thing on a weekend in October that looks like good fun. So Naruma and Duntry. I'd also like to play at least one of PK North, Yarra, or Portsea. I haven't played PK North or Yarra since they were renovated. I haven't played Portsea ever. So I'm sort of resigned to not playing PK North, because I'd say every year it's a goal and then I don't. So, but maybe that last quarter of the year, maybe I can get down to Melbourne and play at least one of those three.
Portsea's a great weekend. Portsea's right at the end of the Mornington Peninsula. And so you're down that Sorrento, Portsea, like little portion of the Mornington Peninsula, and just beautiful homes and really good beaches. Some of the states we don't have great beaches like the Perth listeners do, and like Sydney's beaches do in Melbourne oftentimes. But that coastline down there is really something. So I reckon you'd love the golf course, and you'd love the total experience down that neck of the woods. You'd probably stay down there one night, I reckon.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
St
Well,
George's
that's, yeah.
Hill's exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. When I was living in London 15 years ago, I had zero cash. And so Sunningdale and St George's Hill without a member were just completely out of the question. I'd love to play the old at Sunningdale. I've negotiated one full day leave pass and two mornings.
Okay.
So that's my. And we're spending half that time. We're staying out in Wimbledon in the Common, near the Common there. So that's not too far from Surrey. So if I could tick off, if I could do the full day 36 at Sunningdale, that'd be pretty sweet. But we'll see. Inquiries will be made.
Okay. Well, I'm traveling a little earlier than you, but I'm off to the States.
You are.
So consistent listeners may recall that I won a ticket in the ballot for the practice round on the Wednesday at Augusta National. After trying for 25 years, finally hit the jackpot and got one ticket on one day. So I'm going over to the US in April, and I'll be over there for a tick under 2 weeks. And I'm hoping to see Old Barnwell and Zach Blair's tree farm. My stretch goal there, in keeping with what you formatted things like at the start of this discussion, Scott, I hosted someone years ago who's a member at Pine Valley, and I would really, really like to see Pine Valley before I die. So I'm trying to organise that. I'm not sure if they will be open at that time of the year, depending on how cold their winter is and what things look like for the start of their season, and what my host is capable of doing. But yeah, that's definitely my stretch goal. Everyone talks about that as being world number one. Haven't seen it. Don't know how many more trips to the US I've got in me. So I think I've got to do that now.
Fingers crossed. That sounds like a
Yeah.
great trip.
Yeah, catching up with Tim Shermer, who we really got together randomly via DMs via Instagram. I think he had reached out to Clates prior to coming to Melbourne 6 years ago, then got in contact with me, and we shared a couple of golf games on that trip and another since. He's a tremendous guy, and he hit the jackpot and got a ticket on the same day. So we're going to be staying in the same house about 30 minutes away from Augusta, and we'll have a couple of good games of golf together, and it'll be a great trip. Domestically, I'm really looking forward to seeing Commonwealth once all of the work's done there. And I've never seen Cathedral Lodge. So I'm not sure if I'm going to this year. I think February, March, April is the time to see it there, when it's dried out and it's warm and firm and the weather's good and it's not trying to be wrung out after a wet winter up there, and it's not too cold. So yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. Hopefully so, because it sounds like it's a cool place to visit and a wonderful experience, with some good holes, some holes that might not be that great, but the total package sounds fantastic. So I'd like to get there.
Everyone I chat to who goes there comes back really enthusing about the whole experience. And so I think that would be it would be one of those things that, I think one of our mates who I won't dox him, but I think he said, it's not the best course he's ever played, but it was the like clear number one best place he's ever had a post-round beer.
Yeah.
So even that, like, we can detach ourselves from beard strokery and just have a good time as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot on the plate there for us both in terms of what we want to see and where we want to go. Hopefully we get most, if not all, of that done.
Yeah, that'd be great. And hopefully you get your stretch goal in the US.
That pro shop's going to cop a hiding if
J.R. Smith, J.R. Smith, the
Oh.
NBA player who turned college golf. He went there and I think he basically emptied the pro shop.
I remember looking at the Instagram photo once he'd been, and I just thought, this can't
Yeah.
be real.
Yeah.
Massive achievement. So. Just a quick break here to check in with our friends at Angus and Grace Go Golfing, who this summer are selling the three-button pocket polo for $110 per piece. This garment is ideal for wearing on course in warm summer weather. Beautiful fabrics that you've come to expect from Angus and Grace Go Golfing. This polo fits perfectly and comes in a fantastic range of colours, including my favourite navy. Ideal for wearing on course or off course, along with the Eyelet polo, which is an even more breathable option for those of you labouring under warm weather up there further north of Melbourne and even Sydney. Get into Angus and Grace Go Golfing on Insta, online, or in real life at 39 William Street, Paddington. You're going to find some of the best golfing attire on the planet on those shelves. They've got a limited range of the no laying up apparel remaining in store, as well as the ever popular Golf Daddy hats. Now, let's get back to the goals. All right. Next on the list for you.
I've got education goal. I struggled with this one because I've never been particularly strong at education, as my teachers would attest. But during COVID, one day locked up in the house, I went online and bought a whole heap of golf, like old golf architecture books. So like Tom Simpson's book and George Thomas's book and a whole bunch. So I want to read 4 new golf architecture books this year.
Okay. Well, that's a good start. They're great, great titles. So have you read Robert Hunter's The Lynx?
I haven't. I don't think that was one of the ones I got. I think it was that's a dearer one. These were kind of paperback reprints of the more kind of common stuff.
Okay.
But I saw this morning actually that Michael Wolff, Bama Bearcat on Twitter, was talking that they are reprinting, I think Tom Doak's spearheading it, reprinting George Barto's biography of C.B. McDonald, the evangelist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed to see that, actually.
Speaking, it's going to knock down the price of your coffee. Yeah. Well, originals will always be worth more, right?
I got George Barto to sign it.
Ah.
And, I was sort of happy, sort of disappointed when I read that, because there'll be a stack of people who will benefit from getting their mitts on that book. It's a brilliant book.
Mm.
And the photography's amazing. And he really was one of a kind. Unbelievable life and unbelievable body of work. And it'll do people well to read that story. I think George Barto did a tremendous job with that. So kudos to Tom for doing a second run of that. So I would definitely add Robert Hunter's The Lynx. So I'm going to make it my mission to find a cheap copy of that for you.
Okay.
I would definitely add that into your list of books to read. Did you say that you had Weatherhead and Simpson?
I think I do.
So that's going
to... I wanted it. To be honest, these books came and I think lockdown ended and I put them in the bookshelf and I got on with living life. I think I got Weatherhead and Simpson.
So that it can be hard going.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a better reader than me. You might have a longer attention span or just be better at zooming through pages. But I found myself really going through that book at a very pedestrian rate and going back a bit and reading it again and, oh, okay, yep, got that. Cool, beauty, let's go. It was great content, but I found it a bit heavy going. Certainly Hunter and Thomas. So Thomas is Golf Architecture in America?
Yes.
You'll love that, I reckon.
Okay, cool.
So, all right.
Where's Matty Mullica going back to school this year?
Mine's more professional rather than...
Okay, cool.
...than golf. So we're professionally required to do at least 20 CPD hours per year across three of 5 different categories. And I've sort of dragged my feet on it a little bit in years past, and I haven't attacked it with gusto or the enthusiasm that I would have at the start of my professional career. So I want to find something podiatry wise that I can really sink my teeth into and really enjoy.
Okay.
I suspect that that is going to be around pain. So pain responses, why some things are painful to some people and not others, how to manage pain. Pain science has been a huge thing in physical therapy and podiatry and medicine for probably the last 6 or 7 years. Peter O'Sullivan and Lorimer Moseley and lots of other different practitioners are really at the forefront of that. And I reckon that's where I'm going to go. I reckon I'm going to spend some hours developing myself from a professional perspective in that space.
Nice. I like that.
So
that pain, like that whole intersection of physical and psychological is yeah, I think really fascinating just as a complete layman.
Well, we have a mutual friend, Jim Benzian,
mm-hmm.
who's very accomplished, very decorated and experienced ICU doctor in California. And I remember years ago, he was speaking very enthusiastically about the writings of Dr. Sarno, S-A-R-N-O. And this Dr. Sarno has since passed away, but his philosophy involved pain as a subconscious manifestation that people labored under essentially to distract them from some deeper and more meaningful problem. And I just kept looking at this guy thinking, you are classically trained. You're in a hospital. You're a conservative, educated, traditional guy on the other side of 50. How can you hold these opinions? Like this is, I thought you'd describe this as witchcraft. And absolutely not. And the more I read it and the more I'd speak with him about it and read his views on it, I thought, okay, there's got to be something to this. So that might be one little area that I'd devote a bit of time to as well. So
very cool. That's good.
Yeah. For anyone else who's struggling with that sort of thing, shout out here for a friend of mine, Elliot Kotek. He is in film and television. He's an American, an Australian living in America. Has produced all sorts of different stuff, directed all sorts of different stuff. Great guy, great friend of mine. He produced a doco last year entitled The Power of Purpose. So if someone's searching for an educational goal this year, or if indeed they're just ruminating on goals and they're not sure where they want to go in 2024, they want to do something on the back of this pod or the NLU goals pod or something on the broader topic of self-development or goals for this calendar year, The Power of Purpose, which I think is on Amazon. Definitely check that out. That will focus you and probably inspire you a bit. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes with a couple of other things for this episode.
I'll be keen on that.
He's who my son is named after.
Oh, nice one. Okay.
So one of those sliding doors moments, I had a casual job in a clothing store 30 years ago, and he was one of the guys working alongside me. And it's one of the poor schmucks who's a friend who's heard that I've had a podcast, has no interest in golf whatsoever, and has suffered through this and listened to the pod occasionally. Which I wouldn't wish on any non-golfer. But anyway, unless you've got insomnia.
I've had a few non-golfing friends say, oh, give it a listen. I'm like, you really don't have to do that.
No,
like,
no, don't.
It's cool that you're excited for me. You really don't need to do that.
No. So.
But that whole thing around purpose, I think, you know, our podcast stats tell us, Maddie, that a lot of our listeners are men predominantly. We're trying to be more for everybody, but predominantly men, and they're 25 to 50 years old. And I think that's a chapter in your life, or a few chapters in your life, maybe, where you're doing a lot of things because that's what you have to do. And we work because we have to work because we need to live. And I think finding purpose is crucial in being positively engaged in whatever you're doing, even if it's not something you would have necessarily chosen, or if it's a stage of your career that you just need to get through or whatever it is. I think finding a purpose and building your routines and your habits and your obligations around something that feels purposeful to you, that's definitely been like the times when I've struggled with my mental health in the last 5 years have been the times when what I'm doing work-wise doesn't feel purposeful. And so I think that's, you know, it might seem aspirational to have, you know, purpose in what you do, but I think it's also just like constructing a narrative of purpose around what you have to do and working out what you can take away from it that actually does make life a lot more fulfilling and enjoyable. Yeah. So I'll definitely be giving that a watch.
I reckon it is really important for a lot of the guys that listen to the podcast. I remember that guy who's on, I think he's on Triple M Breakfast in Sydney. He did a doco about men in our demographic, like 20 to 50 year old men and suicide.
Oh, this is Gus Warland?
Yes.
Yeah, he founded that Gotcha for Life mental health charity. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I don't remember lots about that, but I remember that one of his friends who he thought was just plain sailing and had life sort of sorted out and obviously didn't. I remember just being struck by the magnitude of how confronting that all was. And purpose is probably an antidote to much of that. It's not a total answer, but it's part of the way there. So
Look, I think it's probably, I hadn't really thought about this in advance, but like it's probably part of what has me, you know, I keep track of, you know, how much golf am I playing? How far was that run? Did I run faster than last time? I guess I'm trying to create some meaning or journey or something within the things I'm doing in my life that otherwise it's just a run. But, you know, if it's a faster run than last time, well, I'm improving. Yeah. Or if it's a slower run than last time, I can think, well, why is that? You know, like even my whoop, like I'll think, okay, I've been feeling good lately. I'll go back through my stats. It's like, okay, I'm not sleeping well. I'm not sleeping enough. Okay, this, you know, I have my journal. I answer every morning whether I drank alcohol the day before or not. And I tend to average about 30 out of 90 days I do and 60 out of 90 I don't. Sometimes I'm not feeling great mentally and I look and it's like, well, in the last 90 days you've drunk 40 times. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like these things, I don't know. Sometimes it's good to have the tracker.
Just a quick break to check in with our friends.
You know,
at Burnley
it creates,
Brewing,
you can look at summer, a lot. Most things that happen to us aren't incidental or coincidental. And I think, I don't know, if you've got a plan that you're following, it's easier to stay on good tracks.
Wheat and oats give this IPA definitely a full hazy body, while hops provide a tropical pineapple character that makes this the perfect beer for drinking in warm summer weather. Get to Burnley Brewing in 648 to 650 Bridge Road, Richmond. $5 per 440ml can or $60 per slab. Help to support those who support the pod. Now, let's get back to the goals.
So, commitment. Let's talk about commitment. Maybe you want to go first this time. What are you committing to?
Committing. I have two golf book goals. One of which has been long term that I've really dragged the chain on, and I'm going to commit to getting one of these books published or printed and sold. And the second, I'm going to progress further. I might not print, but I'm going to be a hell of a long way further down the track. So I'm too scared to tell anyone about it, and I don't want someone else to suddenly stumble on this idea and run with it, because if I go into a bookshop one day and realize that someone's done this, I'll be absolutely filthy. But that I need to get off my butt and make sure that doesn't happen. So I need to make sure that I realize this project that I've had simmering away in the back of my mind for a long time.
Okay.
So I'd love to tell you more about it, but maybe I will be able to at the end of the year, Scott.
There you go. That's good. That's good. So this is not the one we were talking about before we hit record.
No.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's something that I've had in the back of my mind. I reckon everyone probably has two or three books in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about doing this one for a long time, and I'd realized at the start of all of our Victorian lockdowns 4 years ago that, oh, I'm not going to be going to work. I need a project. And then I realized, I cast my mind back and thought, oh, I was typing stuff up like that. And I went back onto an old hard drive and found all this stuff that I'd done and thought, man, I actually advanced this a reasonable way.
That's cool.
And it never really turned out that I'd do stacks and stacks of it during lockdowns. We sort of sidetracked doing other things and rolling with the punches through those years of COVID. But I did a little bit, but not enough. And I'm going to commit to doing more of it. So it's probably not watching TV overnight and not getting bogged down in the unimportant things, using the time that you've got to dedicate to things that are more important. So,
isn't it wild? You just referenced it. We're 2 months shy of 4 years since COVID started.
Yeah.
Feels like a good time to start to get on with our lives, as you say.
Yeah. So that was Renaissance Cup.
Correct.
That was you and I playing down on Gunnamatta.
When we first talked about doing this podcast. There you go.
There you go. So your commitment?
So my commitment is, so we talked about, I think we talked about on the pod late last year that I'd set myself a goal of 100 gym sessions in 2023. And I ended up, I got to 110 gym sessions. And then I also went for 24 runs and played 37 games of golf. So my goal for this year is less, and it'll tie into to my personal goal. So 150 workouts of any type.
Okay.
And I'd count 18 holes of golf as a workout. But so I've got back in recently towards the end of last year. I stopped going and doing heavy weights at the gym, and I got back into, a few years ago, I was doing reformer Pilates, yeah. And my body's just never been happier than when I was doing that. So I got back into that late last year and again, just feeling good. So there'll be a bit of that. There'll be a bit of gym. There'll be runs. There'll be swimming. There'll be golf. So, but the magic number's 150.
Okay. That's good.
I did have one 30-minute practice session a week for golf, but I'm deleting that right now because I'm not going to do that. You've got to know who you are by the time you're 40 years old, and I'm not someone who's going to practice once a week. I'd love to be that person. I probably wouldn't need the goal of staying under four if I was that person. I'm not that person.
Yeah, you can be well-intentioned and think that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just not me.
So
yeah, 150 workouts.
That's good. That's good. That's a good frequency. And Pilates is better for you than weight work.
I just think, yeah, it's great in terms of core and rotation. There's a lot of leg focus and rotating your body off balance, under load. Honestly, if anyone's listening and you want to be fitter, you want your body to feel good, you don't want it to ache when you wake up, you want it to operate better when you're playing golf, give reformer Pilates a go. I go to a studio of KX Pilates. They've got studios all over Australia. They do great introductory. I think all of them have a 5 classes for $50 or $60. Go and give it a go and do the 5. My wife and I both, when we started after the first class of the 5 starter pack, were like, never doing that again. That was so hard. It's so rewarding. Your body feels good. It turns better. Your posture's better. You'll strengthen up. It's honestly, I cannot recommend it enough.
Everyone always talks about the increase in range. They feel more supple.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Move more.
And just things like sore lower back and hamstrings and all those niggles just go away because, you know, you're rotating while holding a posture and you're under load and you've got some weight, and it's just strengthening all the parts of your body that as we age, I mean, and it's not just an old person thing, but yeah, highly recommend it. If you're listening and you're curious, give it a go.
Yeah, good suggestion.
So all those workout things, Maddie, feed into my personal goal. All so right. When I was in high school, Flame Tree starts playing softly in the background. And I was in when I was in high school, so year 7 through year 10, when I stopped, I went to state for swimming 4 years in a row. And so it was my school's relay team, made it through. And at that period, I could, so I don't know exactly how many times, but it was like a small handful of times I swam under 30 seconds for 50 meters. And otherwise I was a good, like between 30 flat and 30 and a half was my split for 50. So my goal this year, aged 40, as a personal goal, is to swim a sub 30 meter, 50, a sub 30 second, 50 meters.
Ooh. That is big. Okay.
So I wasn't sure if this was achievable. So between Chrissy and New Year, Maddie, I went to the pool and I decided to just see, okay, is 30 the goal? Is 35 the goal? Let's just see what my old bones can do off a base of no swimming training. And so I'll play you something.
All right.
All right, Maddie. December 27th, I just went down a baseline. And it was short course because it's thunder and lightning, so I can't swim the outside pool 50 meters. So I'd swim the indoor pool, 5 meters, but I didn't do a tumble turn to try and even it up. About 41, 42 seconds. So that's where I'm starting from.
Okay. So 41, 42 seconds.
But then after recording that, and I was drying off and getting dressed to go home, I thought, oh, I'll do one more. Just, I'll do one more.
Oh, sorry, update. Oh, so I sat down on a crack before I went home. Still, yeah, 25-meter pool. No double turn. About 38. But I feel like pushing off that second 25 is worth a lot. So... sub 30s on. That's the goal.
Okay. I reckon the push off does give you a little bit, but it's a good baseline.
Yeah, but you lose a bit. It's funny, on Christmas, I was talking to my dad about this on Christmas Day because he won't blow smoke up my ass. I said to him, do you think this is insane? Do you think it's doable? And he theorized that you get a bit off the wall, but you also lose momentum going into the wall. And I also, the other thing I didn't say there, that when I dived, yeah, you dive and you can really dolphin kick underwater out the maximum.
Yeah.
I just kind of went to the surface and started swimming because I had it on my mind that this was a 25-meter pool and I wanted the number to be sort of reliable. So I think 38's probably about right. So it's like, but that's like a 20% reduction. It's not nothing. It's going to take some doing, but I think it's doable if I commit to it.
Yeah, it's going to take some effort, but it'd be fantastic to get that fast.
Mm.
So I used to swim at secondary school. I was a middling sort of swimmer that more often than not missed selection for my team's school at inter-school sports. I only made it a little bit. I never broke 30 for 50 freestyle.
Okay.
And we used to, I loved my school and I loved swimming and we were an ordinary swimming school. We were a great footy school and mm-hmm. me and some mates went back to our secondary school when we finished. We were enrolled at uni and we thought, well, we'll sort of pick up the baton and we might contribute to coaching the boys that are there now and see if we can do any better. And we went on this multi-year campaign to try and end up winning an inter-school title. And we struck two really accomplished swimmers, one in our division, Toby Hainan, who swam for St. Bede's College Mentone. So I went to St. Bernard's and we used to compete against De La Salle, Parade, St. Bede's, a couple of others. And Toby Hainan swam backstroke for Australia at 3 Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And he was really, really good. He was a thorn in our side every single year. As we got better at coaching and as the school got better and we thought we have a chance of actually winning this thing outright this year, we organized some sort of scratch match competitions against other schools with whom we didn't usually compete.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'll have some competition and we might see if we can go up a grade, swim against Caulfield Grammar or swim against Wesley or swim against someone else and not let these other schools know that we're improving and that we're organizing ourselves and getting competition and getting better. And we swam against Wesley one night And Wesley had this bloke who at that time had hair and now doesn't. And our 4x50 freestyle relay swam a senior relay, swam a slower time than his 200 freestyle. His name was Michael Klim.
I was thinking it might have been Klimmy. I was quickly Googling his age. He's 46, so it's
he
fits
was
perfectly.
A monster. He was just so, like, just flying up and down this pool at Oak Park in this at dusk one night. I don't think Oak Park public pool has ever seen anything like that before or since. He was just so fast.
That's, I mean, it's the 200 that, to be able to keep that speed up. Like while I was able to swim 30s, I don't reckon I would have ever swum under a minute 10 for 100 because it's like after I turned, the pool turned into cement.
Yeah.
And I was never good at going for long distances. That's crazy.
So I remember lots of different Olympic events and lots of little moments where someone succeeded or had this epic performance and it's just seared into your mind. And I remember the night that Duncan Armstrong won the 200 freestyle against Matt Biondi and Michael Gross and at an all-star field in the 88 Olympics. He swam 147.25.
Wow.
And it's got faster since then.
That's wild, yeah.
That's nuts, crazy. Isn't it?
Well, I looked up as part of my due diligence for whether 30 seconds was realistic. I looked up the world record for 40 years for 50 meters, and there's a bloke who swam 23 seconds in his 40s.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, freaks out there.
Okay.
They'd look at a sub 30 and be like, cool, man. Like, if you're proud of that, like, yeah. Good for you.
Oh, I'd be proud of that.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. What's Matty Mullica doing?
I've got to keep going to the gym. I go every third day. And I don't think I'm going to have – I almost feel guilty nominating this because I don't think I'm going to have any problem doing this whatsoever. The gym's 800 metres from my front door. I love going. I love the people there. And I'm motivated by a touch of fear that my back pain will return if I don't go. So I'm just going to keep going every third day. It's an unusual gym in that you do one set of 12-second reps per machine until you fail. So it's slow contraction, high intensity until failure with high resistance. And
like 12 seconds per rep.
Yeah. So
You'll
like, if you were doing a bicep curl, that concentric contraction phase where you bring your hands up towards you do that for 4, you hold at the top for 2, you gently let down for 4 seconds and hold at the very bottom before the plates touch. For 2 seconds of static hold there and then repeat with high resistance and you do as many as you can.
Interesting. What's the thinking behind those slow reps?
It is really, well, concentric or eccentric contractions where your muscle gradually lengthens, you generate more force and you can achieve a great deal of strength development and conditioning, working your muscles in that way and also working them until failure.
Okay.
You can do a lot in a short time. So I don't ever spend more than 45 minutes at the gym, but I'm knackered at the end.
Okay.
So I would like to get, I had some pain in October and November. This is probably a better commitment. I would like to get to PB levels on 8 of the 12 machines that I would normally do.
Okay.
So that would see me have a cumulative weight total over 2,700 pounds at the gym for the machine totals. That's a good commitment.
Okay. And I like it's not just a vibey commitment. It's a, like, you've named the number.
Yeah, 2.7. And this gym that I go to, Keza, no free ads, but Keza are fantastic. Different approach to KX Pilates, but it's different strokes for different folks,
no,
and this
totally
seems to work for me. Before I hit the footpath on the way out, like, it's all app driven, I'll be able to tell how much weight I've done. So
yeah, cool. For people who just lift weights, you know, and want to track, I'll recommend there's an app that I was using for a little last year. So I started using, if you use Whoop, the strength trainer is great in that. If you don't use Whoop, there's an app I was using for most of last year called Train Heroic. And you enter your exercises and set up workouts, how many reps of what weight. And at the end of every session, it will tell you how much gross weight you lifted in the session. And I found that when I'd lift more than 10,000 kilos in a session, it was like, that was kind of, you know, a barometer of how hard did I work. So
10 ton.
So those apps are great. So Train Heroic is a really good one. If you like to just go to the gym and lift heavy weights and do that stuff, I think it'll help your training and get you more focused and more purposeful.
I wonder how much Bruce Hardy lifts per session.
Oh, like a million kilos.
I reckon so too.
He and Mr. Mac, yeah. when I look at their Instagrams and they put up, oh, this is me deadlifting like 250 kilos. I'm like, my back just goes out in sympathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freaks.
Yeah. That's a lot of glute strength and a lot of low back strength.
Yeah. I suspect when Bruce went to the UK last year and he finished his trip up with some time in Stratford, obviously the home of William Shakespeare, and he was at a Shakespeare festival like 5 nights in a row, I suspect he was probably the only person at the Shakespeare Festival who can deadlift 250 and bench 150, etc. I think there's probably not a huge crossover in that Venn diagram.
There's no overlap there.
No. He could deadlift the entire cast of Hamlet.
Train Heroic. Yeah. So I'll put a link to that in as well.
Awesome.
That's a good nomination. Thank you. All right.
Leaves us one category, Matt.
And that is?
A podcast goal.
Ooh, of course.
Which I feel like we actually probably need to workshop this and agree on it. Otherwise, it's probably not going to be particularly well met if we both have different goals for this podcast.
Well, hopefully the audio today is good and the work that I've done over the gap between Christmas and New Year has addressed some tech issues. Recording and sketchy internet and so on. We've got better at editing. We've got better at producing. Do I remember correctly you wanted 26?
I think that's a good goal. I mean, we did 25 last year. I think so. And we haven't agreed any of this off air, so it should be good audio while we thrash this out. But my goal was a new episode on the 1st and 15th of every month. Because I feel like that hits 26 for the year. It gives consistency for listeners in terms of like knowing when something's going to drop, but it's not overwhelmingly demanding for you and I who have lives, you know, that actually pay for our lives.
And 150 workout sessions to complete in the calendar year.
Indeed. So I don't know. That was my starting point, but I'm not wedded to that.
I like that. I was listening to Ross Flanagan's My Love of Golf podcast this morning, and he's been far more regular in his production. And Mike Caridi with the Three Putt Par podcast records it Monday night and gets it out Monday night before he goes to bed. And kudos to both those gents for doing that. I'm sure there's a host of other podcasters that do exactly the same. And yeah, that's a bit inspiring to see that they can have such a work rate. So yeah, if we set ourselves 1st and 15th of every month, that gives us 26. I had a vague recollection that was your aim.
Now we've also missed the 1st of January, but I'm claiming Clates on New Year's Eve as that episode.
Okay.
But that will also involve us having to get this one out tomorrow.
We can do that.
I haven't said anything stupid. That's the other thing that's made editing easier for you, is that I've started thinking before I say certain things. And so you've had to just edit out sections of podcasts that we've kind of reconsidered. Which for some people who said to you, I know you had some feedback from someone who said, I don't always agree with Scott, but he's got some takes. There's other things that isn't even see the light of day. So, yeah.
I think most people who record a podcast would definitely agree in that they could set up a Patreon page just with the outtakes or the audio that's recorded. Well, the audio before and after record.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where some of the best stuff happens, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, best might be open to interpretation, but yeah, certainly some of the most notable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So 26 is our aim. Okay.
26, first and 15th. I think we can do it.
I think we can too. I might do one from the US. You might do one from Sunningdale.
Yeah. There you go. I think we should.
That'd be good.
Could. That's good.
All right. Beauty. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this as much as I have.
Yeah, it's been good. And now I'm so committed to trying this 30-second thing because, you know, it's not just my dad who's expecting it from me now.
Yeah. hopefully listeners have been a bit inspired, a bit entertained, but a bit inspired as well. So I would encourage you all out there to have a think, perhaps adopt the same sort of format in terms of different goals and different targets that you'd set for yourselves this year in those different facets of life. There might be others. You might focus more on professional stuff. Might be diet, could be anything. But yeah, that having some sort of target makes things much better.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well done, Scott. One down.
One 20, down.
25 to go.
That's it. All right. Too easy. Talk to you soon.